Let's open with hymn number 40. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
O Lord, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Heavenly Father, we beseech thee so to rule and govern our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we may not, like the rich man, hear thy word in vain and become so devoted to things temporal as to forget things eternal, but that we readily and according to our ability minister to such as are in need and not defile ourselves with surfeiting and pride. In trial and misfortune, keep us from despair. And grant us to put our trust wholly in thy fatherly help and grace, so that in faith and Christian patience we may overcome all things through thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson is found in the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, the 4th through the 13th verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be, when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who bought you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oaths in his name. Here ends our text. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the fourth chapter of 1 John, the 16th through the 21st verse. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Here ends the epistle lesson. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hallelujah. The gospel lesson is found in the 16th chapter of Luke, the 19th through the 31st verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets.
Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to you.
Dearly beloved, in bringing this child to baptism, you are observing the will of the Lord who commanded baptism, saying in the last chapter of Matthew, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We should indeed value this sacrament highly, particularly since it is the only means of grace God has given us for little children. Little children, though seemingly innocent, are by birth and nature sinful, and without forgiveness would be lost forever. We know that God gave his Son into death to atone for the sins of all, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But since little children are as yet unable to understand the gospel, faith cannot be worked in them by telling them of Christ. We can never sufficiently thank God, therefore, that he has made baptism a means whereby he works in little children with his divine grace, turning their hearts to faith, cleansing away their sins, and receiving them into his kingdom. The simple act of baptism has such wonderful power because the Almighty God himself works in it through his word. Baptism is not simple water only, but it is water comprehended in God's command and connected with God's word. The divine word makes baptism, what Paul calls it in Titus chapter 3, the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. For this reason, Christ says in the last chapter of Mark, He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. It is meet and right, therefore, that we should here, in the sight of God, administer and employ this blessed sacrament in the fear of God, with due reverence and with sincere devotion. Receive, then, the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon the forehead and upon the breast, in token that you have been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Hear the Holy Gospel of St. Mark, which says, And they brought young children to Jesus that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and blessed, put his hands upon them and blessed them. In order to ask this blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ upon this child, let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, whose promises are unto us and unto our children, we heartily beseech thee to look upon this child with thy tender mercy, and renew her by thy Holy Spirit in the sacrament of baptism, that she may be thy child and an heir of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord preserve thy coming in and thy going out from this time forth, even forevermore. Amen. Let us now confess our Christian faith, into which this child is to be baptized, in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Maya Joanne Klimp, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten you again of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven all your sins, strengthen you with his grace into everlasting life. Amen. Peace be with you. Amen. Let us pray. We thank thee, gracious Father, that you have received this child through holy baptism into the covenant and kingdom of your grace, in which we have forgiveness of sin and everlasting life. Grant, we beseech you, that being buried with Christ in baptism, she may be dead unto sin and made alive unto righteousness, that in the end, together with her parents and all saints, she might obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the singing of hymn number 392.
grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 16th chapter of Luke, the 19th through the 31st verse. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from you to here cannot, neither can those pass from there to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, grant us hearts to hear and to believe thy word, that our sins might be forgiven, and that we might be found with all the saints in eternal life. Amen. Dear brethren of our Lord Jesus Christ, no one is entirely agreed on how you can measure success or failure in this life, and yet you will find a certain amount of agreement. The wise men of this age will even tell you that money isn't everything, and that the wealthy are not made happy by their wealth. And yet, the same wise men will also tell you that extreme poverty can lead to crime, and that honest labor benefits society and should be rewarded. All of this is true. For the wise men of this age are not without truth, because their conscience and experience and powers of observation can be very good teachers. Still, others of this age will tell you that your success is determined by your attitude. If you are convinced that all your endeavors will end in failure, then you will surely not disappoint yourself. The wisest of the wise in the ways of the world, however, will also tell you that a positive attitude and hard work may well also lead to failure. Seemingly random events can destroy all the fruits of your labor, leaving you with nothing. And so, none of these answers really satisfy in the end. Because the soul of man knows in the very core of his being that true success or failure cannot be measured in this life at all. Because it can only be truly known at the end of life. But here we have a problem. Because human reason has reached its limit. It falters and fails at the grave. For all the wise men of this world agree that when it comes to death, it is only your works that matter, either the legacy you have left behind or the merit that you carry forward with you into the next life. And here, pardon the pun, human wisdom is dead wrong. After death, success is not measured in the money that you have accumulated, nor in the wisdom that you've acquired in life with the passing of years. All the standards of success which men have conceived are broken at death. And yet where man's wisdom fails, God steps in and succeeds. He has shared his wisdom with men before the grave, because he is a gracious God who does not wish men to perish, to die in their sins. The Lord declared through the prophet Jeremiah, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord exercising kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight." Now here is wisdom that is beyond man, because it is otherworldly. It comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who in his wisdom formed all the universe and all life in it, and who calls indeed out to all men, no matter their age or station in life, to repent of their sins and to come unto him. Therefore let every man bridle his tongue and hold his reason in subjection, and listen to what our Lord declares. True success is measured in knowing the Lord, who exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. All of which is but another way to say that the only measure of success in this life or in the next is faith in the God of salvation, who graciously forgives our sins and judges men to be righteous in Christ. And so, God's standard of success is entirely contrary to all the ideas of men. And so here we have the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Here success is described in this way. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. From early Christian times, the rich man was known as Dives, because Dives in Latin means a rich man. The story of Jesus is very unlike his other parables. He does not call it a parable. In fact, he does not say anything in it about the kingdom of heaven. He cuts right to the quick and he gives us a direct glimpse into the world beyond the grave. All of this leads us to wonder if, in fact, this is not a parable at all. Well, I will leave that in God's hands, whether this story is nonfiction or allegory, because it really does not matter which it is, because what it says about the afterlife and about faith is just as true either way. We have in this story two men who could not be more opposite. Dives, healthy, rich, and self-assured. Lazarus, however, who is sick and poor, unable to do anything but lie on the rich man's doorstep and beg. And Jesus is quick to point out that of all the places Lazarus could have been, he was right there on the doorstep of Dives, hoping for a little charity, even if it were only the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And by that, Jesus is trying to point out to us that Dives knew Lazarus was there. And he did not drive him away, but he also did not take him in and feed him and care for his wounds. And so we see that both men died. Dives went to hell, and Lazarus went to heaven, where the souls of Abraham and all the saints lived. Death had reversed the lot of these two men. Lazarus, a failure in life, now met with success, and Dives, successful by every earthly standard, was now an utter failure. What made these two men different? If we look at their lives, we will not so much see a direct answer as a clue, in that Dives was content to let Lazarus be like the dogs who licked his sores, hoping for a morsel of bread from the table. He showed no compassion for Lazarus. His works matched his heart, which had no love for his brother. And if he did not love his brother whom he has seen, how could he love God whom he has not seen? And therefore he had no compassion for the suffering of his fellow man, because the love of God was not in him. But this does not explain why Lazarus was in heaven. Was it because he was poor, or because he suffered so much in life? No, Jesus does not say anything like that. In fact, poverty does not make you worthy of heaven. Even experience teaches us that poverty and sickness do not give you a loving heart. More often than not, they make you angry and bitter against God. Well, then what else could it be? It certainly wasn't any grand works that Lazarus had done. All he could do was lie down and beg. In fact, look at how people think of beggars even today. They look at them as worthless, unable to do anything but live off of others' charity. But Lazarus was not this way of his own fault. He could not even drive away the dogs who licked his sores. Perhaps then it was because his suffering in life was hell enough, and that he'd already paid for his sins. Well, some people believe that hell is here on earth. And yet in the story of Jesus, we get to see what hell is really like. The reward of Dives and all those who are there with him was eternal flame, a suffering vastly beyond anything that Lazarus endured. If suffering in life were enough, then a great injustice was done to Dives. At minimum, Lazarus should have been there in hell with him, maybe suffering just a little bit less than Dives. But no, Lazarus was in heaven, and he was comforted. The difference between these two men, then, must be in the heart, which man cannot see. And we confirm this by the exchange between Dives and Abraham. First off, even in suffering, Dives had no compassion for the man that he had spurned in life. He wanted Lazarus to serve him, to come and brave the flames of hell long enough to bring a bit of water to cool his tongue. What he asked, though, was impossible. For after death is the judgment. Heaven and hell are separated forever. No mortal being can cross between them. Dives had all his life to repent and to show love to his brother, and now it was too late. Yet even in hell, Dives still had the wrong idea about how a man should merit eternal life. He begs Father Abraham to send Lazarus back from the dead, to preach to his five brothers, so that they would change their ways and not come into this place of torment. Scare them with the threats of hell and brimstone, and surely they will repent. Yet, you see that Dives was thinking, even in hell he blamed God for being there. If only God had sent him a prophet in life, perhaps performed a miracle like raising someone from the dead, and warned him, then surely he would have believed. And so whose fault is it, in the end, that Dives is in hell and that his five brothers will likely soon join him? As far as Dives is concerned, it is God's fault. But the problem with Dives and his five brothers was not that God did not send enough preachers, but that they did not believe the Lord in the first place. They gloried in their riches and in their wisdom, not in the God who alone could save them from hell. And therefore Abraham explains the difference between Lazarus and Dives, between success and failure in the life to come, very plainly in the last verse, which is the key to the entire story. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. By this we know that Lazarus heard the word of God, repented of his sins, and believed, whereas Dives heard the word of God and did not repent. The difference Between the two men was what could not be seen, that which was only in their hearts, namely faith and nothing else. And in this last verse, Jesus was prophesying about how his people, the Jews, and indeed all men thereafter, would react to his own resurrection. And when Jesus indeed rose from the dead, only those who believed Moses and the prophets gloried in the wonderful sign of the risen Christ, who demonstrated once and for all that all of their sins and the sins of their children and their children's children were now forgiven. But the rest who did not hear Moses and the prophets were just as hardened in their unbelief as before Jesus rose from the dead. In the last verse, we see then this whole story is not just about Lazarus and Dives and Abraham. It's not about doing good works or how it's better to be poor than to be rich. It is about faith in Jesus and in his word. In this life, we have so little time. Death comes to the young and to the old alike. And then eternity commences, and there is the judgment, and our destiny is locked in place forever. This is true of all men. We have so little time here in this world, just a few moments. Or as Job declares, man who is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. And yet, it is just this little time of life that is so important. For what we do with the Word of God and His grace in Jesus Christ on this day, right now, establishes our destiny for all eternity. And that is why God calls out on this day with His grace to us and to all men. He calls out in Moses and the prophets. He calls out in the word of Jesus Christ. He calls out to the young and to the old. He even calls out to our little children, whom he has also ordained have everlasting life. And because they cannot have it by works, or by being poor, or by being small, but only by faith, he has given us his word, not only as it is preached, but also in the waters of baptism, so that no matter who one is, young or old, rich or poor, they may have everlasting life in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so do you see, dear Christian, why it is so important to hear the word of God while it is present with you, to teach it to your children as we heard in the Old Testament lesson, to speak of it when you sit down and when you rise up, to bring your children to the Lord God that they might know him. To do this now, while God is offering you his grace and declaring his word in your ears. Right now you are living either in or with your sinful nature. If you are living in your sins, then you are like Dives, content to enjoy the good things of life, with no care at all for your soul, never taking the plain truth of God's law seriously. That law which condemns you to eternal death. And if you have repented, even so, you still live with your sinful nature, which continuously tempts you into unbelief and drags you back into the works of your flesh, which are pleasant and comforting for a time, but will lead you straight to hell. Yet just as surely as God threatens you with the flames of hell, he calls you to repentance, with the same words which comforted Lazarus in life and later in death. More clearly still do those words call out to us today. For we indeed have Moses and the prophets, but now we also have the word of Jesus, who so plainly declares his love to men by showing us his death and his resurrection from the dead. And he preached after he rose, not only to the souls in hell, but also to the living here on earth. He sent out his apostles into all the world, commanding them to preach this gospel to every creature and to baptize all men in his name. He showed us his hands and his feet and his side, so that we might know that his wounds and his blood paid for all our sins. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Therefore, believe this word. Be comforted with the love of God, which he has given you in Jesus Christ, that his love might dwell in your hearts by faith, that being rooted and grounded in the love of God, it might manifest itself in you in every good work. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Praise give me a clean heart.
Let us pray. O Lord God, King eternal, of whom, through whom, and in whom are all things, both in heaven and earth, and who in the Trinity of thy Godhead art one God, we give thee most heartfelt thanks for the multitude of thy mercies, which thou hast so graciously showered upon us. Most of all, we thank thee for thy great love and for the priceless gift which thou hast given in Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son, whom thou didst send for our salvation. We thank thee for the forgiveness of our sins which he has won for all of us, that thereby we may be delivered from death and the devil's power, and granted everlasting life. O Lord, who first loved us, grant that we may love thee with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our might. Teach us to walk as obedient children in thy commandments. And as we wrestle against the powers of spiritual darkness in all of our temptations, give us the strength to overcome them by the constant remembrance that in thy Son we are redeemed from the devil's power. And as thou didst anoint thy church with the Holy Ghost and with power, help her everywhere throughout the world amongst all peoples and tongues to declare thy wonderful works, to the end that multitudes may come to thy light. Look in mercy upon the nations of the world and grant them thy peace. Especially do we beseech thee that thou wouldst bless our own land. Give the spirit of wisdom and understanding to all who rule over us. Banish all vain ambition and love of power and luxury. Upon all our homes, let the sunshine of thy love descend, and grant that our children may be reared in thankful devotion to thee, and all their days walk in thy praise. We entreat thee, O loving Father, for thy mercy and grace upon all who face adversity or trial. Be thou the health of the sick, the joy of the sorrowing, the staff of the aged, the companion of the lonely, and the strength of the weak. Grant us all these petitions, O Lord, for the sake of him who died, that we might ever live with unto thee. Amen.
We sing hymn number 429. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the
Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 54. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Maya Joanne, to Augustana Lutheran Church. May she have many more days among us.
learn her Savior's voice by name. And welcome to our several